Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God. We invite you to look with us specifically at Psalm 139, Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Verses 1 through 24, all of Psalm 139. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful privilege of being able to come to you in prayer each and every day. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love, and thank you for loving us enough to where you take the time to listen to our prayers absolutely every single day of our lives. Thank you for the privilege of praying and seeking you through prayer daily. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Bless each of our prayer lives indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain, in Jesus' name. And stir us, Lord, more and more to be the church that is seeking you through prayer and in your word daily as you'd have us to. And help us to be the church that is boldly carrying out the work you've called us to, the building of your kingdom and the spread of the gospel and the standing for truth wherever you're calling us to do so. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of courage in a special way to be even more committed to the work of evangelism, discipleship, and even more committed to the work of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Lord, thank you, Father, for how that by faith we're believing you, Lord, that legalized abortion has come to an end in our nation in the name of Jesus and in the world. Stir us as the church more and more to be faithfully doing what you would have us to do our part to help bring that to pass. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to you with praises, Father. You are such a wonderful God, such a faithful God. It's so encouraging to look back on the Christian life and see how year after year, minute after minute, you have been a faithful God to us. We thank you for that. Thank you for loving us that way and loving our listening family that way. Help them and us to recognize the awesomeness, the kindness that comes from you, Father, and to live out lives that honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Ted Tittle. Ted is an AFR listener in the state of Kansas. Ted, how are you today?
I'm overly blessed. In other words.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you with us today. And Ted, I had the privilege of meeting you by phone, I guess maybe a week and a half or so ago. And you called in and you were asking for prayer, but you shared about a very unique experience that you had that you're going to tell our listeners about as well. So at this time, I want to ask anything else you want to share about yourself, but then I want to ask you to share the experience God has given you as it relates to what he's called you to do in the matter of standing for life.
Years ago, in about 1972 or three, my wife was then working at nighttime, and I couldn't sleep. I got up and I started reading in Ezekiel, and Jack Van Impe had just had a sermon on the radio, and I listened to it, and Ezekiel 33, and it hit me right in the spiritual heart, and how that we are to be the warners of the people, and if we don't warn them, their blood is going to be on our shoulders in judgment. And I didn't realize just how serious this was until later on when I began to listen to the news about aborted babies and this, that, and the other. And, man, it just hit me broadside, and I couldn't hold it in. It's pretty hard. But and later on, I guess it was about 2 years ago, and I know that if I hear silent screams of the baby, some of the silent screams of the babies being aborted, I know that Christ hears them all. And you know, once again, Ezekiel 33, I have to do this in love. I understand that, and what's shocking is as I go to various different churches and various different people, they don't seem to really be concerned that it's premeditated murder. And you know, we need to take that to heart, because there's not a country in the world that has ever lasted very long when they sacrifice babies. Well, I'm here to tell you. Go ahead.
So let me just share very clearly. I ask you to kind of reiterate. So basically, you're saying about maybe 2 years ago, if I understood you correctly, you're saying you began to have an experience where you would hear the silent cries of babies while they were being aborted. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The screams. Some of them, yes.
And, you know, that's pretty heavy, but at the same time, it's a unique way to share a unique message as well. But so, would you say it's like in your heart you're hearing the cries of those babies?
It's really hard for me to understand it, but I pray about it. And Jesus keeps telling me, tell them, don't be shy. And Adrian Rogers once made a statement that to be meek is strength under control. And instead of being meek, we are submitting to the society. We're being silent and timid. And Christ don't want us to be timid. Matter of fact, his last commandment before he arose into the heaven, he made the statement, we are to go out into the world, share the news. We're not doing it.
Well, Ted, tell me this, you know, as you had the opportunity to share this unique experience, and you know, let me just mention, your experience sounds sort of like the way God dealt with some Old Testament prophets. He would give them a unique experience that they would walk through, and that would be either a part of their message, or they would use that to help illustrate the message God had called them to share with the people of God. And so, as you've shared your experience of hearing the silent cries of babies as they're being aborted, as you shared that with believers and or even pastors, how have they reacted?
Some of them, well, the pastors especially, some of them are accepting of what I've told them. Mm-hmm. And some others, and I've even had one or two of them tell me it's politics. And forgive me, Lord, but I wasn't submissive to Christ. And I told him, there's no politics in life and death.
Mm.
And I said, that's blood. You cannot subtract that or add to it. Mm. And I went to a governor's day one time. And the governor then was Bill Graves. And the Lord pushed me for years to approach him and tell him about abortion, because he was pro-abortion.
Hmm.
And I made sure I was the last person in line, and I told him that abortion is premeditated murder, sir,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus Christ, and this is probably wrong, but I told him Christ has not abolished his capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take that deadly serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm a reluctant person sometimes, you know, telling the people, but since that time, I've become very, very bold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all Christ in me. It isn't, you know, I'm like a speaker in a radio. That's all I am.
Right. Okay. Well, Ted, would you take a moment just to pray, whatever's in your heart to pray for as it relates to being a witness for life?
Lord Jesus, you know my heart. Right now it's hard. Jesus, I know that you knit these beautiful people in the womb, mother's womb. Your hands are so precise and so beautiful working these kids. And pray, Jesus, that you, like I have for years, that you dip your finger in the blood of the murdered innocent and murdered unborn. Write your handwriting on the walls of the conscience of minds of the people that support the abortion and the homosexuality. And show them, help them to see that there's no one else but you and them. Help them to smell the tender grace and mercy that you have for them. Help them to know that they have an opportunity to come home to you. I pray, Jesus, this with all my heart. And it's in your name, Lord. You've done this before. And I pray, Jesus, that those that are in office right now, that you help them to submit, and those that refuse, please, Lord God, in your name, I pray that you take them out of power for eternity right now. And that you show those that believe in you that your hands, mighty hands, is working constantly for our good, our eternity, Lord. And forgive me for my lack of being able to pray. I love you, Lord.
And Father, to thank you for Ted, and thank you for the opportunity you've given him and the opportunity you've given to every one of us to be witnesses for your kingdom, witnesses to the gospel, and witnesses for life. Help us to be faithful where you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ted, thank you so much for coming and sharing about your experience, and continue to shine for Jesus and let him use you, okay?
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Ted. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest was Ted Tittle, sharing a unique experience as he stands boldly for life. We'll be right back.
speak from heaven. We call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven. We call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven. We call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness. Super amazing.
Music of Dansin Oyekan, a song simply titled Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our guest in the first segment's name was Ted Tittleland. Again, he was an AFR listener who shared a very unique experience. He shared how that over a period of time the Lord has given him this unique experience of hearing the silent cries of babies as they're being aborted. And to be quite honest, that's a little bit of a unique experience, but as I alluded to in that first segment, you know, sometimes God would use Old Testament prophets and give them unique experiences to walk through as a part of the message they were proclaiming to the people of Israel, or in a way to help illustrate the message they were sharing with the people of Israel. Well, again, a very powerful testimony from Brother Ted, and we appreciate him being willing to come on the broadcast and share both his experience and also his heart for the cause of standing for life. And our encouragement to every listener is that you would pray and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do to help get involved with this important battle of standing boldly for life and standing against abortion and helping to end the tragedy of legalized abortion in our nation. Well, I want to remind you once again, we're asking for your prayers as we look forward to this event this weekend. I'll have the privilege of speaking at the Hope Pregnancy Center, a fundraising gala that they have once a year in Canton, Texas. And we ask that you'd pray for the Lord to anoint the event and pray that God would tremendously bless this ministry, Hope Pregnancy Center in Canton, Texas, that he would anoint the ministry mightily and greatly bless it spiritually and financially as they do this fundraiser event. And again, pray for me as we share the word, the message the Lord would have us to share with the people that will be present and online as well. So hope that you'll do that. We'd very much appreciate your prayers. I want to mention once again, if you'd like to help us with a project that we're spearheading, my wife Bertie and I have the privilege of spearheading and chairing the board of Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center. And we're in the process of raising the funds to purchase a mobile medical unit that will serve the southern portion of the Mississippi Delta, a mobile medical unit that will move from different communities to be able to serve as a moving pregnancy clinic for several communities there. If you'd like to help us with this important project, you can go to our website, greenwoodhopecenter.org. Again, that's greenwoodhopecenter.org to go to the website to learn more about the work. And also, if you'd like to give financially as well, please pray much for this work as we move forward with this important kingdom project. Hope that you will. For the balance of our broadcast today, we're continuing to look at a topic we dealt with earlier in the week. God calls the church to stand boldly for life. You could call it part two. As we continue to share and encourage every single listener to seek the Lord to find out what he wants you to do to get involved with the important work of standing boldly for life. All of us have a part to play, and it's important for us to do that. We were blessed to have someone call us on, get in touch with us on yesterday, a gentleman from the state of Alabama, who he actually wanted to get a recording of the program early in the week that we entitled God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. He wanted to get a recording of the broadcast he has in mind to share a portion of that broadcast in his local church. Well, again, it's for each one of us not to tell each other what to do, but we're to each pray and ask the Lord to guide us by His Spirit as to what He wants each one of us to do. The Lord knows the specific tasks and works He's calling each of us to do in order to get involved with the cause of Standing for Life. Hope that you'll take time to pray and seek the Lord. Further educate yourself about, again, the different kinds of work that are being done in the pro-life camp. Again, many great ministries out there doing great work, so hope that you will take the time to do that. My email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get any copies of any of the articles we've shared throughout this week on the life issue, please feel free to let us know. Again, jparker@afa.net. I'm going to take time specifically to share an article that we wrote that was on the AFA stand. This article is entitled Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. Again, Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. In a short, very interesting and powerful story from Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22, we see two young women with a dilemma who turn it into an opportunity to glorify God and His creation. Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, He gave them families of their own. Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 21. Picture them, Shiphrah and Puah, two ordinary women who had the job of being midwives. Their job was helping pregnant mothers during the delivery and birthing of their babies. Then, one eventful day, Pharaoh gives them a strong, very clear order. He directs them to deliberately kill all the Hebrew baby boys when they are born. It does not seem that he gave them any reasons why they were to do it. He simply commanded them to do this. The Word of God tells us very clearly, but because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. Exodus 1:17. Well, in time, the Pharaoh realizes that the baby boys were not dying. So he calls the two midwives and confronts them, asking why they were allowing the baby boys to live. Shiphrah and Puah gave this response. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. Exodus 1:19. Well, what did the Pharaoh know about birthing babies? He probably knew little to nothing about the world and business of delivering babies. So God, in His sovereignty, gave Shiphrah and Puah grace and wisdom enough to outsmart the great Pharaoh. So he ended up having to change his whole strategy in getting rid of the Hebrew baby boys by declaring them to be cast into the Nile River, Exodus 1:22. These two courageous women stand as outstanding role models of bravery and courage for people who follow the Lord for all time, even in a time of crisis. They courageously stood against the orders of the man who, by the world's thinking, may have been considered the most powerful man in the world at that time. The great king of Egypt, Pharaoh, gave an order, and they deliberately disobeyed that order. Why? Because the midwives feared God, Exodus 1:17. They stood up for what was right without knowing what the outcome would be. That's courage. They chose to honor God more than a human ruler. They put the will of God before the will of men. That is boldly standing for God, His will, and His word. Shiphrah and Puah, here in this story, teach by example how to stand up for what is right. They are showing us boldly that it is right to stand up for right and stand against wrong. They feared God and knew in their hearts that killing innocent babies was wrong. They didn't even have the Ten Commandments as of yet. Moses around this time was just a baby boy that is born early in the book of Exodus. Well, it's important for us as pastors, ministers, and believers in the body of Christ today to learn some important lessons from Shipra and Pua. We in the church today stand as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and we are guided and counseled by God's word. Joshua 1 verses 6 and 7 tell us, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Again, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Today, governments and governmental leaders, sadly, have told us that it's all right to kill babies in the womb. The government tragically protects and promotes abortion. They tell us that it's a woman's right to choose and that women have reproductive rights. God is looking for Shipras and Puas today. He's looking for people who fear him. God is looking for believers who obey his word. God is looking for believers who know what his word clearly says about first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and not murdering, Exodus 20:13. God is looking for believers who will courageously stand up and be counted to stand up for his word and for his babies. Well, what does it mean to stand up for God and to stand up for his children? Well, it can mean many things. Number one, pray daily for the spirit of boldness for believers, so we will courageously follow the Lord, be disciples, and faithfully make disciples. Pray for the ending of abortion in our nation and in our world. Number two, pray much for the ministries on the front lines of spreading the gospel and standing for life. There's never a time to apologize or shrink back from standing on the word of God, for following the word of God, or for speaking the word of God. God's word is our guidebook, our instruction manual for all of life. We're not ever to decide that disobedience to God's word for any reason is okay. Why do we see so many people who say that they love God, yet are not involved with the work of spreading the gospel, making disciples, or speaking out against the killing of innocent children in the womb? Sadly, the reasons are varied and numerous. Tragically, too many believers have opted not to walk courageously. In fact, too many are acting like cowards. A bit strong, one might say. Not really. The reality is that among us who say we love the Lord and walk, the reality is that too many among us who say we love the Lord walk and act like cowards. And the reality is the truth hurts sometimes. But very often it needs to be said because truth helps us to see ourselves for who we are and where we stand. And once we see ourselves, if we are not who we should be, we can repent and ask God to help us to step up to where we should be. Today, too many pastors walk as cowards when it comes to what and how they're preaching and teaching from the pulpit. Many church leaders choose to stay away from issues and topics deemed, quote unquote, controversial. Too often, church leaders shy away from challenging believers to live sacrificially. Why? Well, it's easier not to ruffle feathers in the pews if we stay away from, quote unquote, controversial issues, and if we avoid encouraging believers to sacrificially serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Too often, leaders or church people will say things like, "We don't want to offend anyone." The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. Preaching the truth often is offensive. Clearly, preaching the Ten Commandments and telling people what is right and what is wrong can be offensive. Too many quote-unquote believers don't seem to believe. And too many who say they love the Lord live as cowards. Sometimes a little inconvenience or awkwardness can cause many a believer to shy away from sharing the gospel or giving out a gospel tract in a given setting. The last time I tried to give someone a gospel tract, the man I offered to give it to said he didn't want it. He was very rude and he really embarrassed me. So should I witness in public when people sometimes say things like that? Someone might ask. Well, the Lord Jesus, in order to save us, went through quite a lot for us. Christ allowed himself to be slapped, beaten, abused, publicly humiliated, and ultimately crucified. Since our blessed Savior went through all this for us, can we not simply go through a small degree of sacrifice inconvenience and discomfort in service to him. When it comes to standing for and preaching about life, sadly, cowards abound. Often pastors say things like, I don't want to hurt the feelings of my parishioners, or people will get offended if I talk about or preach about this issue. Well, what happens when we, as preachers of the gospel and followers of Christ as a whole, don't preach and teach and share the truth? Well, what happens is people die in their sins, and people who think they're on their way to heaven may die and go to hell. Also, babies die by the cruel means of abortion, and people who have had abortions walk into a devastating life due to the aftermath of an abortion. Men and women who go down this road experience extreme regret, depression, heartache, nightmares, and sadly, sometimes suicide. We're called to preach the truth, and it's the truth that sets people free. Again, Shipra and Pua are outstanding role models for the church today when it comes to being courageous in the way we followed our Lord. Every pastor, preacher, and believer should ask, am I a courageous follower of Christ, or am I a coward? As Matthew 17:20 tells us, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Again, the article entitled Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Fred Hammond with Give Me a Clean Heart. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking at part two of a broadcast entitled God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And we're encouraging believers to seek the Lord to find out what he wants you to do to help the cause, for the cause of standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. We're going to share an article we shared earlier in the week once again entitled The Bible, Life, and Abortion. Again, if you'd like to get copies of any and all these articles, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, this article, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Does it say anything about these issues, or is it silent? Does it tell us anything about God's perspective in thinking about life and the taking of the life of innocent children? Actually, the Word of God has a lot to say about these issues. Do you want to know God's will and thoughts about these matters? Just look in His book. One definition of abortion is the deliberate murder of a child in the womb of its mother. Another definition is the taking of the life of an innocent baby. The following are passages from the Bible that give us God's counsel, His thoughts, and His will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20 tell us, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Again, Exodus 20, 13. Then in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, 12. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5 tell us, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him, in whoring after Molech." Again, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Then Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. Ezekiel 16, verses 20 and 21 tell us, "And you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them?" Again, Ezekiel 16, verses 20 and 21. Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38 tell us, "They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Then Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35 tells us, "They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Again, Jeremiah 32, 35. Then 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Well, in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18, God's word tells us of two governmental leaders, two kings who, for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons, gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, these leaders ordered, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the issue of life, standing up for life, and standing against abortion. These are just a few, but they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to the insights God's word gives us of his will, his perspective, and his thoughts on these issues? A wise and correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we get passionately involved and aggressively standing for life. What can believers do to walk out a passion and commitment to the cause of life? Here are a few ways to get involved. Number one, find your local pregnancy center and volunteer your time to help in their ministry. Give financially to one or more local pregnancy centers. Pray for the ministry of pregnancy centers. Inquire about the possibility of your church putting the local pregnancy center into its church budget. Number two, take the time and effort to research and learn about active pro-life ministries that are doing significant work to stand for life, save babies, and to help end legalized abortion. And number three, educate yourself about every facet of the issues surrounding life and abortion. Sadly, there is much ignorance, apathy, and misinformation about the life issue and about abortion. Great is the need for the church to become educated spiritually and otherwise about this issue and get involved. Your help is greatly needed in this battle, and every day counts. Can God count on you? Again, the title of this particular article is Again, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And then another article is entitled, The Dear Parent Letter. She called out of the blue. My parents have scheduled for me to get an abortion. The abortion is scheduled for tomorrow. I want to keep my baby. Can you help me? Shay was 17, still in high school, still very much dependent on and under the care of her dad and mom, and she was desperate. How she got our phone number, why she chose to call us, how she was funneled to me, we don't know. The best explanation, it seems, is God's grace, His sovereignty, and the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction. She called and was crying out for help. She lived in another state and literally lived across the country from where our ministry, the American Family Association, is located. Well, what could we do? In considering this situation, many people in our country do not realize that it is against the law for anyone, a parent, a guardian, a boyfriend, or even a husband, to try to force or coerce an abortion. If a mother is carrying a baby, whether she is 14 years old or 34 years old, and wants to have her baby, it is against the law for anyone to try to force her or coerce her to abort her baby. The law is clearly on the mother's side, no matter how young that mother may be. We immediately emailed Shay a copy of the Dear Parent letter that same day. We had her cell phone number, so the following day, after not hearing from her right away, we called her back. We wanted to follow up and check on her. Shay answered the phone. She stated that she was at the abortion clinic at that very moment. Her mother had brought her. I thought to myself, why didn't you show your mother the letter before you went to the clinic? But I didn't share my thoughts with Shay. I encouraged her to still show her mother the letter. We then ended our conversation. Later in the day, Shay called back. I listened to her share the story of how her day went. She said, we didn't get an abortion. I showed my mom and the people at the abortion clinic the letter. The clinic workers let us know that they could not do the abortion in view of my not wanting to have an abortion. Mom was not happy, but the abortion did not happen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Shay went on to say, they did an ultrasound on me. They found out that I was carrying twins. Praise God. The Holy Spirit used the courage of a young lady in this simple letter, the Dear Parent letter, that day to save not just one, but two babies. I would encourage every reader to do this and to do it today. Go online and find the Dear Parent letter from the Justice Foundation online. Get a copy of the Dear Parent letter, then read it again. Then pray and ask the Lord who you should send this letter to, either by email or hard copy. Many people, many parents, pastors, youth pastors, high school principals, high school counselors, middle school counselors just don't know that this is the law. It is also true that many pregnancy clinic employees, sidewalk counselors, and the like do not know the law on this issue either. Finally, even many persons in law enforcement do not know the law in this matter. I would encourage you to pray about who you should send a copy of the Dear Parent letter to. Then send out at least 12 copies or more to people you know who are in places of influence. Again, high school counselors, middle school counselors, people in these strategic places. If you do this, the Lord will use you to save the lives of babies, maybe many, many babies. Would you consider doing this? I trust that you will. Again, this article is entitled The Dear Parent Letter. And once again, if you'd like to get a copy of this article as well, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We've been looking at the topic today of God, part two of God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And again, our encouragement is that you will seek the Lord as to what He'd have you to do to get involved with this very important cause of standing for life. Father, thank you for your sovereignty over us as the church and as a nation. Father, more and more open the eyes of people to see the wicked reality of what abortion is, murdering babies that are yet in their mother's womb, babies that are in a place that should be a safe and a place of grace and a place of blessing. Yet sadly, too many have been convinced of the whole tragedy of going down the road of abortion. Open our eyes and help us to do our part to both end the tragedy of abortion, to stand against abortion, and help us as the church to love these women and help them during this time of need in their lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as usual, at the end of our broadcast, before we conclude, we want to invite anyone listening, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might be someone who's gone down the road of abortion or participated in some way. We serve a Heavenly Father that's merciful. He'll forgive you and He'll make you brand new. If you'd like to receive Christ and ask Him to come in your heart, would you simply pray this prayer with me and receive Christ and His forgiveness? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so very much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me all that you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you prayed that prayer and received Christ today, please email us. We'd like to be in touch with you to share with you some resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if you're listening and you wanted to get a copy of any of the articles that we shared today, again, same email, jparker@afa.net. Let us know you'd like to receive one or all of the articles we shared on the broadcast today. We'd be glad to share them with you. Our hope is that you will just ask God how He can use you and where He can use you to help stand for the gospel and stand for life. God has much work for us all to do. Let's do our part. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.